Okay, good morning. We're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're still in the same Os, Kuf Mem Zayin, which is 147. We're on page Kuf Tes, though, and we're coming to the end of Kuf Mem Zayin. We're dealing with this difficult concept of being able to rejoice in the suffering that God sends you, in knowing by the fact that Hashem is clearing out the barriers between you and him, which you caused by the sins that you did, and to be afraid to have to come to that. So, hold on. What? No, we did more than that. We're more than that. I know we did more than that. Ubar HaDavar, fifth line from the top. Ubar HaDavar, and it's clear. Sh'af min yiras ha'onesh, even from the concept of fear of punishment. Harom yachol lahasi kirvas Hashem, a person is able to achieve closeness to Hashem, udvekus b'sparach shmo, and ability to be attached to Hashem. Because everything in this world is designed to connect with Hashem. Kasher adam zoichol lahaskol lohavin es hadvar memorim, when a person can merit to be smart enough to understand this concept. Ozai kishem shehu nigash, just like a person goes to acquire love of Hashem with joy, when you want to love Hashem, you're going to have joy. So too, he will go forward to acquire fear of punishment with joy. Because in the inner depths, they're both the same. They're both mitzvahs, they're both ways to attach you to God, and you have to have simcha. They're the same. To bring a person closer and to have a person be attached to his creator. That's what King David said. Vani kirvas Elokim li tov, and for me closeness to Hashem, that is what is good. Now listen, look carefully. Which word of God is used? Didn't say kirvas Hashem. Kirvas Elokim. Elokim is the name of Hashem, as he says, afilu shem Elokim. Even the godly name of Elokim, which is Shehumidas Adin, which is the attribute of justice. Even the attributes of Elohim, Li Tov, is good for me. Mikivin Shigam Mikach, Vigam Mikach. Since also from here, and also from here. When God is the God of mercy, the God of justice, Mikol Oivinshu, no matter how it comes out, a person is able to acquire closeness and attachment to Hashem. So that's a deeper meaning in Kirvas Elokim Li Tov. The closeness to God's judgment is even good for me. That's what I want. Okay, moving on now to Kuf Mem Ches. Arata Osaknu B'yiras O'enish Min Hein Miyasurim Agehenim V'hein Miyasurim Ba'in Lomaseh. So up to now, we have been talking about the fear of punishment, of suffering in Gehenna, suffering in this world. Ulam be'emes, yesh hei madregas shel yira. The truth of the matter is, there's five levels of fear. Five things a person should be afraid of. Aleph, as we've said, yiras me'on shem yisur. Number one is fear of punishments and suffering, as we've already explained. Number two is yiras hakavod, the fear of honor, meaning to say, shuyare shalo yevosh, that it's a person should be concerned that he should not be embarrassed. Ukumosh kasav chazal, as our rabbis have told us, shekol echad nichve mechuposo shel chavero, that in the world to come, everyone will be scorched by the canopy of his friend. There's a concept, an allegorical concept, that everybody in the world to come will be have his own chuppah, his own canopy. He'll sit under it. But he'll take a look and he'll see that somebody else is higher than him. Is higher than him. And he'll be scorched, so to speak. It'll be a subtle reminder that that guy wound up being better than you. That guy wound up being better than you. And, you know, people, generally speaking, especially in this world, are very worried what other people think of them. They're very worried what people will think of them. And that is another type of yira. So, you know, for example, if you know, if you do a certain sin and people will now look down at you because you've done that, that's going to be something to hold you back from doing sin. You know, people, and especially in the world, and don't forget, if you don't live up to your abilities here, in the world to come, it will be publicly known that you didn't live up to what you can do. Now, it doesn't mean to say that, you know, what exactly will that feeling be in the world to come? Of course, in the world to come, people should be far removed from negative traits. Again, you know, we can't say exactly what this means, but again, as we've said, that there is a certain period in the world to come where we still suffer from our negative traits. And, you know, when you find out, before you're going to the final place, you find out that you're not getting a good seat, and those guys that you thought were nobodies are getting much better seats than you, there'll be a great amount of embarrassment coming at that time. And the last, you know, people, kavod is a big deal in people's lives. You know, people really are big into the kavod thing, and their egos are very high, and the last thing a person wants to see is somebody ahead of them. And so that's a motivator too, that you don't want to be the guy in the back. So that's the second type of fear. Gimel, yiras hashlemus, fear of perfection, meaning to say, since a person recognizes that perfection is connected to being connected to God, so he's afraid he may lose this dveikus, this connection to Hashem, by sinning. So that's a third aspect. Now these first three aspects have all been discussed in the 10th chapter of Mesillas Yesharim. Dalet, yiras haroi mamus, the fear of his majesty, meaning to say, at the time of the mitzvah, he's afraid he might not do it perfectly, and he may make a pagah, make a blemish, a taint in the honor for the king. He's afraid he's not doing it as well as he could be doing it. Hey? Yiras chet, the fear of sin, meaning to say, shiyorei b'chol eis v'chol shah, he's afraid at every moment of the day, shema yifka ma'adei masav, he may diminish himself and his relationship with Hashem through his actions. He may diminish b'chvodo malko shalom, the honor of the king. In other words, you never know when you're doing an aveira. The fourth one is, when I'm doing a mitzvah, am I doing the mitzvah the way it should be done? I'm putting on my tefillin. Am I really doing it the best way? Is it exactly in the right place? Because if it's not the right place, I won't be doing the mitzvah properly. Fifth one is, you know, you're doing something and you may not know you're even doing an aveira while you're doing it. And these two aspects are also explained in the Mesillas Yesharim. So there's five different aspects of fear. Right now he's going to tell you which ones to bother with. So let's just hold on for a minute. Let's finish the paragraph and then we'll take questions. So now these are the five general areas. And these are five ways, again, to remove the barriers, to avoid creating barriers. Right? That's the point of these five. But they're coming in from a different angle. One is, you know, it's going to be painful, physically painful. One is, it's going to be more spiritually painful in terms of embarrassment. Third one is, it's painful that you're not going to be as perfect as you can be. Fourth is, you're just afraid of not doing mitzvahs properly when you're doing the mitzvahs. And the fifth is not doing an aver without really realizing it. So let's look at all five. Until now, we've been looking at the first one, the fear of punishment. What about the second one? Regarding the fear of honor, lo nasa, we're not even going to deal with it. Forget it. Because people usually are not that sensitive to that spiritual reality of the lack of covet in the higher world. This is all kinds of things that the soul understands much better than we understand. So this second level of, you know, you're going to be embarrassed in the world to come. You're not going to be in the place where you should be. Other people are going to be greater than you. Let's forget about it. This is too esoteric of a concept for you to worry in the world to come. It's v'imkein shuv nitzrach l'kach kolach tzir. Then we're going to have to come with all kinds of visualizations of this. Come over here, so it's just like the fear of punishment. V'kimin shesed kash l'robinam. This is very hard for most people. L'arachnos adibrakan. We're not going to talk too much about it. We're not going to do that. Zulas Now, who could this be a good thing for? Elu, those people, Shabbaif and TV, who naturally rode from cover, who run after honor. People are real balgaivas, and real people who always are looking for fame. So maybe we could talk to them about it, because since they really, really like fame, they can understand what not getting fame in the world to come may be. It's interesting how he's feeling most people aren't really into fame so much, and not into covet so much. So you're not into covet so much, so what are we telling you? You know, the covet that you're looking for, you're not going to get in the world to come. I'm not even that interested in covet to begin with. So maybe because he lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's that way. I don't know. But for Etzem, so for people who really are fame seekers, Zuha Fayda Yisko might be easier. But I'm not going to deal with this. Okay, we could argue with him. Maybe we should. But he's not going to do it, so it's not going to help us.
Isn't it natural, though, in Judaism, that you're always giving honor to someone else anyway? So it's kind of a given that...
Well, that would be a nice thing to do. You're right.
I think that's how it should be.
But it doesn't matter. He's not going to deal with it. That's all. Right? Okay. Lulezos, besides that, Adam Yeshkia Bakach, Zman Rav Mod, and besides this, we're going to spend a lot of time on this. Vinira Shilafi Oifen Rov Bene Dorenu, and it appears the way most people in our generation go, Adif Lasak Biris Onish, Ubiris Ashlemus. It's better to work on number one and number three, fear of punishment and fear of perfection, the Lasak Biris Hakovin. And let's not deal with the fear of losing honor. The time is short. It's a lot of work to be done. And based on the attitude that most people have towards this, the investment of time in here would be so much, it's not worth it. We're not going to deal with the second level. Okay, we're not going to do the second level, so let's go on to the third level. Okay, question. There was a hand up.
Well, sorry, it was back to before. When you were talking in base about Yerusha Kovach, did you say it was an avera not to reach your maximum potential?
I didn't say it's an avera not to reach your maximum potential. It will be embarrassing for you, that's all. It'll take away from your kavod that you want. I mean, if you really, you know, you really love kavod, and, you know, and guess what? In this world, you can get kavod by doing all the things that aren't so spiritual. When you get to the next world, you're not going to have any covet at all. The person's not going to like that. And that's an eternal lack of covet. So that would motivate certain people. Yeah?
How do you know what your maximum potential is?
How do you know your maximum potential? Give it some time. Give it some time. You have to know more Torah to know what your maximum potential is. You have to know what life is all about before you can know what your potential. And it's going to take you a couple more years till you know what life's all about. I'm sorry. You're too young. You're too young. The first way is you have to have a lot of knowledge of Torah. That's number one. Okay? And pay good attention to the rabbi's talks. And you'll know. It takes time. You know, just like I said it on Monday night, and I say it all the time. How do you know, you know, even in a secular way, how do you know what your potential is? How do you know you should be a lawyer, doctor, accountant? How do you know? What are you going to be best at? You don't know. So you go to university, get a liberal arts degree, you get a little taste of everything that's out there. You interact with what's out there in the world. And then your own natural inclination, and you see what are the availabilities there. So slowly you begin to find something that will resonate within you. And then, you know, this is what I'm meant to do. Right? That's in a secular way. But there's a little bit of truth to that in terms of a spiritual way as well. You want to know what your potential is. Do you even know what Judaism really is all about before we can even talk about your potential? Do you understand what chesed really is? What's real chesed? What's real limud haTorah? What's real tefillah? You know, I think I'm going to really daven a lot. You don't even know what davening is. It takes years till you know what davening is. Okay, now they know what davening is. Now you can maybe see. And then to really do a lot of self-introspection. The first thing I always say, what's your potential? To fix your flaws. That's the first thing. Work on fixing your flaws. That's the first thing.
Lifetime training.
That's all. Go figure that one out. You know, I'm coming to 50. I'm beginning to see some headway in a few areas. You know? So, you know, but no, but if you study this kind of stuff, you're going to see what's your potential. Your potential is being close to Hashem. Your potential is to fulfill what's written in this book. It'll be a good start. And then we'll talk, when you finish this. Yeah, talk to a guy. Okay, when you finish Shas, then we'll talk about it. All right, finish learning Shas, then we'll talk about it. That's already the first thing you got. There's certain sine acquaintance that you have to deal with first. And then when you deal with them, then we can really start talking in a mature way. Everybody wants to know my purpose. I'm not meaning anything disparaging Carmel. I'm just saying, everyone wants to know about their purpose generally out there, and they don't want to bother to even become a human being first. Without enough Torah, you're not even realizing your potential of being a person. Forget about the person that you are. So don't worry about that. People spend too much time worrying about that and just worrying about being what the Torah says you should be. You'll find it. Everyone will find it. You'll find it. Believe me, you'll find it. Hashem will direct you in that way. If you keep your eyes open, you'll see exactly where Hashem is directing you, and you'll know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Okay. Kuf Mem Tes. 149. So therefore, we will engage ourselves in the discussion of the number three level of fear, aspect of fear, which is a fear of the lack of perfection, which is Shiayira Shiyore Pen Veshema Alideachet Yechslov and Ashlemus Shiatvekus Barishbrach Shmo. Person is afraid that lest, and maybe through his sin, will be lacking from him perfection, and that perfection is that connection to Hashem. And that, of course, is the goal of life, which should be the most important thing to us. And sin can diminish that. In other words, I want to be a perfect person. And the way to be a perfect person is by being attached to God. And if I sin, I will lose that attachment. So, Reishis, Nachzor v'Nichto, let's go back and write this concept again. Shashlemus Hamitis Hadvekus Bo Yisbarach Shemo. That true perfection is cleaving to God. Kiloshin Ramchal, as the Tzaddik told us in those very words. V'chol chet and every sin, Monea Mina Adam Esakirva Vadvekus Barach Shemo. Every sin holds back from a person this ability to get close and be attached to God. Imkain, therefore, Reishi Savodas Adam. The first thing that a person has to do in their service to God is l'des ma'ashlem, is to really know what is perfection. Via dveikus baruch shmo, and that is being attached to God. And the next step is l'das shachet sosoze, that sin contradicts this. V'sholos adveikus baruch shmo, and it diminishes this attachment to God. And then, step three, l'irtzas mo das adveikus baruch shmo, to really want to be close to Hashem. Right, you need three steps. A, to know that perfection is closeness. Right, that is, perfection is closeness. Sin contradicts that closeness. And then to really want that closeness. V'chasher rotza, kein ha'odem ha'od. Person really wants it. Ozayore shever etzon liyimali. Then he'll be afraid, step four, that maybe I've not accomplished that. Kolzman shein ratzon chazak lekirvas yisbarach shmo. As long as a person's desire isn't strong to be close to God, behecher shein yira chazaka meheder akirva. There's not going to be a strong enough fear for the lack of that closest, which will not be achieved. So this is not that far from the first kind of fear. The first kind of fear is more using the punishment as the motivator of not being separated from God. Here the motivator is the lack of perfection. It's the lack of perfection. There is an innate desire for a person to want to perfect himself, to be perfect. So to be perfect, so what's, we gotta redefine what's a perfect person. And we know that's true. All the people who are neurotic about their weight, and neurotic about their looks, and neurotic about aging, is because everyone wants to be perfect. And if God forbid you crack a nail, it could be a major, major, major catastrophe. Because everyone, the whole world, is looking at my nail. And I'm not perfect. Right? Even if you look at the advertisements, they always will throw in the word perfect. The perfect bed. the perfect shoe, right? Everyone wants perfect, right? So people innately want the perfect vacation. Right? So people want to be the perfect father, right? Just, you know, for $9.99, you'll take this course and be the perfect spouse. Yeah, the perfect yeshiva. Right? So people innately do want to be perfect. So, but you gotta realize what is perfect. Perfect means being close to Hashem. If you really know that, and you really want that, then you're not gonna want to sin. But that's the catch. You got to really, really want this. He keeps coming back to this all the time. Do you really want to be close to Hashem? Or is it just a motherhood statement that we say, because we know we're supposed to say it? And he gives an analogy in Kuf Nun to describe how he can understand this perfection. Nitein mashal adavar. Let's give an analogy. Adam yetzim ibeiso. Person goes out of his house. He's in there to stroll, of course. Ubedato leilach luchupas shachaver. He's planning to go to the wedding of his friend. His friend's wedding. He's going to go. Shinik full of shashesh. And he knows at 6 o'clock is the chuppah, whatever. So b'shashu hutzoet lakivan ha'atabus. So he's walking out in the direction of the bus. The number 2 bus that's going to take him to the wedding hall. And the number 2 bus is pulling out, you know, it's supposed to be at 5:30, and I'll make it to get on, I'll get there right at 6 o'clock. So he's going out of his house, he's walking, the bus stops a block down the road. He just sees that the bus drove by and has left the stop. So forget it. You're not going to be on time for that wedding. And of course, I assume he assumes no one can afford a taxi there. Only the tourists can afford the taxis, right? So now, how bad do you feel that you missed the bus? How bad do you feel? K'chol sha'ratzon shlo chazak yoser lios b'chuppah chavero, to the extent that his desire is stronger to be at the chuppah, to how badly you want to be at the chuppah, kein ha'eder me'chuppah, so the absence of not being at the chuppah, toli botzar, will bring him pain. The more you want it to be at the chuppah, therefore the more painful it is to not be at the chuppah. V'chein lehepach, the opposite. And if his desire is weaker to be at the chuppah, it doesn't matter that much to be at the chuppah, therefore his pain won't be so great if he's not there either. It all depends on how badly he wants him. It's a very obvious motion. So too is in the real world. To the degree that a person really has a strong desire to be connected to the Creator, right? To that degree, no, that it is, right? So chalash yoser, right? So to the degree that the desire to be close to God is weaker, right? Vizu rak yedia sichlis, and it's merely an intellectual awareness, but not an emotional feeling. To the degree that you're feeling that being close, you know, you've read in the book 50 times already that being close to God is important. You know it here. But you don't know it here. So can you rasa minachet chalosh yoser? So to that degree, the fear of sin is going to be weaker. Because what's sin doing after all? We already know that's a great difference, a fundamental difference between knowing something intellectually and feeling in your heart. And call Adam shalom as a ramchal. Anybody who's learned litzado, yodei shetachlus achayim hikirvus Hashem. They know that the goal of life is to be close to Hashem. And he knows that sin holds you back from reaching that goal. This is only an intellectual knowledge. From intellectual knowledge, there's almost no fear. Avodas Adam, the service of a human being in this world, is Shalibo Yirza Leos, next page, Karav LaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that his heart should want to be close to Hashem, Vidavakbo, and cleaving to him. To the extent that this concept penetrates more into his heart, so too he will be afraid from sinning. That sin is which holds him back from achieving the goal of closeness and attachment to Hashem. Okay, that's an obvious point. Dugma nosefes adover, but another example to this. Let's take another example. Every Orthodox Jew knows, a Ben Torah knows, how important it is to know the entire Shas, to know all of the Talmud. It's an important thing. You're going to ask a frum Jew, should you know the whole Shas? Absolutely. It's a very important thing. Vimzos and still at all, Hem Yechom Levatel's Man Rav, they waste a heck of a lot of time. So he's sitting down with his Rav Rusa, and they start schmoozing. They start schmoozing. There's no time to lose, as they say. It's a lot to learn. And we waste so much time. Any little excuse, it's my daughter's birthday, I couldn't come to the shir tonight. Right? The most obnoxious excuses. You know, it's his kid's birthday, so the whole day is gone. It's like mom is just Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. You can't desist from thinking of the kid's birthday the whole day. I don't know where in the world this Narishkeit came. And therefore you can't go to shir, you can't go to this, you can't go to minyan, you can't do anything because it's his kid's fourth birthday. You know, or chas v'shalom if it's her 16th birthday. You know, and for 20th birthday, it's, you know, but any little excuse, you know, PTA, I can't go tonight. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? You send the wife and you go learn. I don't understand. If we understood how important Torah learning was, Everything else is so overrated except for learning Torah. That's the one thing that's not overrated. I'm not saying you shouldn't be interested in your kids. I'm not saying, you know, PTA is way overrated. Way overrated. And they're very smart. They play on your sensitivities of being a good parent. And they seem to say if you don't go to PTA, you're not a good parent. The biggest shtus in the world. Biggest shtus. Nonsense. And now you wait an hour and a half to speak to the teacher for 3 minutes. What are you going to know that you didn't know before? Let's be real honest. Especially the ones who have good kids. Why are you really going? It's an ego stroke. Be honest. That's not nachas. That's false sense of nachas. If you need the teacher to tell you that he's good, it means you have to hear it again. That means you got ego problems. You know if your kid, any kid, parent who has a good kid, knows. The kid comes home with a test. 95, 96, 98, 102. What are you going to the teacher for?
To meet them.
You don't need to meet them. You don't need, you can say hello to them on the phone. You can call them up, hi, I want to meet you. It's, you know, you gotta meet them. It's good to meet them if you don't have anything better to do. But if you have a shir to go to, that's more important than meeting the teacher. Okay? And let the wife meet the teacher, and the husband doesn't need to bother with that. You know, and there's plenty of time all year long when you're bound to be in school once in a while, and you can be, and if you don't, it ain't the end of the world. Believe me, it ain't the end of the world. And if you met them, and then what? So you saw their face. Okay, good. So now what? You want to meet them on Purim? You bring shalchmonis to them. You'll meet them. We're not learning on Purim anyway. You go and deliver shalchmonis to the teacher. Show your hakaras hatov. I want to shake your hand. You've done a wonderful job. But you're going to spend a whole night to spend 3 hours just to meet the teacher? It's insane. It's insane. Because the answer is we don't value what a night is. We don't value what an hour of learning Torah is. We just don't value it. It's a nice thing. Too bad I can't do it. You know, like you don't get it. It's like that hour is so precious. We don't realize, because you do it every day. If you miss one day, it's a big thing. I have to be there and get my ego stroked. We're a weak generation, a very, very weak generation. We can't believe. We need more people to tell us we're good. Hey, let me hear it again, how great my kid is. You've heard it already for 6 years. Every year, every teacher told you the kid's good already. So what's your problem with your ego? You've done the Ratzon Hashem. You need someone else to tell you the Ratzon Hashem? And otherwise you don't feel that you got your money's worth? I don't get it. I don't know if you got, and if you really got a problem with your kid, the 3 minute isn't going to do it. You've already made an appointment. You've already talked. Any parent who has a half a brain knows right away if the kid's doing well or not, and if there's a concern. I've never gone to PTAs. Never. If there was a problem, I met with the teacher well before PTA, and I'm always in contact with that teacher every month to update, and that's what they're happy to do. That's what they're happy to do. Why does school do PTA? There's an expression I can't say in front of the tape. We'll just say to protect their integrity. Okay? To say, well, you had a chance. You know, in case a parent will have a complaint, why didn't you tell me? So we're going to protect our integrity. He says, well, there was a chance. You would have come. We would have told you. That's it's only there for. That's the only reason. So if you're a real good parent, you don't need to go to PTA. A real good parent knows well before PTA what's going on. You know already in October, what's the kid getting on his tests? Right? You're learning with the kid every night his homework, right? That's what a good parent does. Good parent learns the Gemara with his son. And if he can't, he makes sure to learn his own learning so he could learn with his son. Right? Or, you know, there's ways that this can happen. There's a way you can know. Even if you don't know how to learn Gemara with your kid, there's ways to know. You could sit down and just listen to him. Even if you know nothing, just tell him to tell you the Gemara. Outside. Just tell him the Gemara. You know, even a lady could do this with her son. I don't mean even, like, negatively. I'm just... You don't know anything about Gemara. So say, okay, tell me what you learned. Tell me what you learned. And the guy goes, that's a red flag. Says, well, you know, we were talking about this guy puts an animal in a corral, and then the animal breaks out of the corral, and he damages, and then we make the owner pay, and so then just ask regular normal questions like, yeah, how much does he pay? Oh, I don't know. How come you don't know what he pays? Teacher, I can't believe the teacher didn't teach you how much he doesn't have to pay. He must have told you how much you have to pay. You know, I don't think you understand what you're learning. You know, you don't have to be so in the know of the piece of Talmud. You might not know every single. So then, you know what you do? Then you call the teacher and you say, you know, I don't know anything. Tell me what I should be doing to somehow be able to keep in touch. You don't want to wait till December's PTA, where we've gone 3 months into the school year already, to now find out for the first time he's not doing well. Do you? Right. The good parent in October, right away, is on top of things. He's saying, what's going on? You know, you can tell the way the kid's coming home, the way the kid's, you know, he's not in the mood to do something. There's all kinds of simple things. You call the teacher, and I see my kid's coming. He doesn't want to do any homework. Is there anything the matter? Does he know what's going on? And that's the way you're really going to find out. Every year, I've always talked to teachers, always in the beginning of the year, for about a half an hour, and we kept in touch. I'm going to PDA now. What for? But that's all. And if I had a really good kid, I don't got to bother. I know what's going on, you know. And any parent could know. Obviously, you don't have the expertise as the teachers, but you know, you can get a good sense of what's going on, and you can always call them at any time you want. Every school will let you call them, and it will only take you 5 minutes instead of wasting a whole night. You know, and if you really need to get your ego stroked, it'll get stroked then. And that's all. I just can't get it. And every time we have classes, it's PTA, it's curriculum night. Yeah, you have to have curriculum night. Yeah, it's just to preserve the integrity of the school. You know what the curriculum is? You already spent $300 on the books. You know what the curriculum is. It's crazy. You don't know what the curriculum is? You bought a math book like this? First grade curriculum. What do you think they're doing in first grade? Rocket science already? You know, they got to learn how to read in first grade. You're looking, it's a reader with blends and phonemes and monemes, whatever they call those words. You know, and that's what they're doing. You're going to learn how to read. And guess what? Is the kid starting to read or not? What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to do this approach and that approach. What does it matter? You're not an expert anyway, and you're not going to change what they're doing anyway. So good. It's just to impress you. It's all PR. Okay? So not for that, you're not going to learn Torah tonight? I don't get it. You're not going to learn Torah tonight just to have the school give you the PR? It's a mishigas. I don't really get it. You know how much days of Torah wasted during a school year because I have to do this for the school? And mamish, then they tell you, you know, and the kids writes a letter to the parent. You know, if I come to PTA, will you see my letter, Ima? The mother says, you know what? You can write me a letter anytime. Not just only when your teacher tells you to write a letter. And if you don't go, you are perceived as the worst parent who doesn't care about his child. That is such a criminal act for a school to do. To put the teacher, the parent, in a position to be made to look like a criminal. They've already paid $12,000 for the kid's education. They don't love the kid already. They could have gone to a trip to Florida built a condo. You don't love their kids? But what is it? Because they know a lot of parents won't go. That's all. So they want to make their way with their guys. So the parents are so gullible, they fall for all that. We want to be the best parents to our kids. You want to be the best parent to your kid? Let them see that you're learning Torah every night. That's the best parent for your kid. Not that you want the PTA. I wish I could take some of these schools and just... It's terrible. But they're going to say, do it. But tell the parents, you don't really have to go. There's not this kind of pressure to go. Only if you really are not sure what's going on, you know. The school's doing it for their agenda, and of course they should. But you are a parent, you have your agenda. And it won't look, and the school won't think you don't care about your kid. It's all nonsense. There's other ways to show. You know what, if you make sure your kid comes to school on time every day, and you sign those obnoxious homework sheets every day, so they know that you care. And if you call once in a while to know what's going on, they know that you care. And believe me, the teachers prefer you don't call. They're busy enough. They don't have any time as it is because they have 17 other jobs to make a parnasa. So they prefer you wouldn't call. And they're not, you know, the only thing a teacher doesn't want is you should never be nasty to them. If you want to know the street smarts of being a parent of school, never have chutzpah to a teacher. Never second guess them in front of their face. Never go above their heads, and just, you know, and they're happy to never talk to you the whole year long, and you're an ideal parent in their eyes. Unless when they call you and they say, you know, and if something's really wrong, they're going to call you. Believe me, if it's a behavioral issue, boy, will you be called. You know, and if the kid's not going anywhere, then it's your job. You see the tests he's getting. You see he's coming in with 40s and 50s, then you should be calling the school. And say, I want to sit down, make an appointment. Then you're going to spend an hour. And then that's an important appointment to do. And it's probably going to be during the day. You know, that's so anyway, I don't know how I got into this. Wasting time. But it's important. It's like these conventions that the world creates, you know, are just not really, really there. And don't get me onto kindergarten graduations. That will really... if that is the most, making a mountain out of a molehill, you know, graduating kindergarten, wow. Wow. You know, a whole year of singing songs in school. That's such a proud moment. You know what it is? It's just an induction to full tuition next year. That's what you're graduating to. Instead of $5,000, now it's $12,000. Get ready to write the check. See how much we taught, and they sit there and they sing songs for half an hour. Okay, that's I'm really thrilled. Okay, I got it in the middle of my day, in the morning when fathers are working, to go and just to hear them sing a few songs to get Yiddish and Nachas. You know, if you didn't know this at the Friday night table with your kid every week, where have you been, Mister? What have you done every Friday night with your kid? At the Shabbos table. Did you talk to your kids? So what did you learn this week? Let me hear about the Parsha. Did you learn any songs this week? Sing me the song. Now it has to be on a stage and this and that. What is the problem here? We're teaching them to be actors? And a father who has to, never, a father has to work. He's got things to do and he's got to cut out. No, and we're going to inconvenience your day to show how much you love your kid. You know, it's the biggest. It's all what? To see the school's trying to tell, look how much we're doing. So good, you can tell me how much you're doing, but you know what? I'm trying to work to pay the bills to send them to your school. That's how much I'm doing. Okay? Just teach the kids and stop trying to work on the PR. You know, if the kids come out good, that's the best PR a school can have. If you're a smart parent and you want to know about a school, only look at one thing. Look, when you start, look at the grade 8. And look what yeshivas they're getting into. Then you know what kind of school it is. Everything else is phony baloney. The beautiful things on the wall and the this and the that. There's only one thing you got to know. Let me look at the grade 8 kids. Right? Are they into girls? Are they into this? Are they into that? Into everything else? And they're going to mediocre yeshivas? That's not the place for you. That's it. That's the proof is in the pudding. Everything else is narishkeit. But the schools know there's some obnoxious parents out there, and they got to make it look like it's better than it is. So they feel they got to play those games. You know, there's better ways to play the game. There's better ways to play the game. And unfortunately, what is the casualty of that is the limud haTorah. the limit of Torah falls. So we know how important, this one more line, we know how important it is to learn Torah, and people still waste a lot of time. Why? It's only an intellectual awareness. It is not the longing of their hearts, the total longing of their hearts. Because the heart is still filled with other many desires that they want. And you want to have this and that and everything else on top of wanting to learn Shas. Well, you can only do so many things in your life, and therefore it's not possible to be achieved. Okay, we'll continue.